Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1 and verse number 28. Boy, talk about setting ourselves up for that. Does the sound sound okay? Okay, great. All right, let's very quickly review the screen that we're on here concerning the natural condition of the human soul. And we'll remember, in our study, we have discovered that man is a tripartite being. He's body, soul, and spirit. In the fall, in the Garden of Eden, man died spiritually. In the Scripture, death always means separation. It doesn't mean cessation of clinical life signs in the body. That's only one of the meanings. The ultimate meaning of death is eternal separation from God. So what happened in the Garden of Eden is that Adam and Eve spiritually died. They lost their life-giving connection through their spirits with God. With the death or deactivation, if you will, of the soul, something had to move into the fill the power vacuum, and that's where the soul comes in. The soul then became the governing organ of mankind. The soul is the seat of the mind, the emotion, and the will. The screen that you have before you now considers the condition of the natural soul, somebody that is still spiritually dead, never been born again. If you look at the top of the screen, we see number one, spiritually dead. The spirit is not annihilated, but it's dysfunctional. A lost human being still has a spirit. It just doesn't work the way that it's intended to work. And by the way, it's also subject to misuse. What might be a misuse of the dysfunctional human spirit? Yes, absolutely. What are those people called before the New Age came along and there was another name for it that communicated with evil spirits? Enchanters, sorcerers, now they're called channelers. New word, same thing. Spirit communicates with spirit. The dysfunctional spirit of man can communicate with other spiritual beings. Its intention was to communicate with God, its source of life. And the number two that we have up here is disconnected, that is, separated from its life source. And then the first bullet. The unregenerate soul is ungoverned. Well, remember the hierarchy that we talked about in the creation of man? The highest port of man is the spirit. You know, people still recognize that. They'll look at somebody that's mysterious and say, oh, they're so spiritual. Well, sometimes they are, in a mischievous sort of a way. Mediums are very spiritual. So we need to be careful in the use of that sort of terminology. God intended for human beings to be ruled by their spirits. God Himself is a spirit. Man is essentially a spiritual being, but God intended that man should have a body. And when we looked at the order of creation in the book of Genesis, we see that God formed man of the dust of the ground, made him out of the 98 cents worth, I guess that's without inflation, of chemicals. And then he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And as a result of that, man became a living soul. In the meeting of the spirit and the body, man became a living soul. He became what God intended for him to be. He had a spirit which could always communicate with God. He had a soul which was able to communicate with the world around him, for it's the soul that sees, it's the soul that hears, it's the soul that thinks. All of the things that we have as organs to communicate with the physical world around us are through the soul. And of course, then there's the body to transport the whole package around from place to place if we feed it. In the fall, that hierarchy was turned upside down. The spirit became dysfunctional. So something had to move in to fill the vacuum, and surely it did. In the second bullet, and we've already talked about most of this, we see in number one under the first bullet, mind, emotion, and will fill the power vacuum left by the death or dysfunction, if you will, of the spirit. And then we talked about out of the book of Judges, how that at a certain time, all the Israelites went around and did what was right in their own eyes. And by the way, people still do that, don't they? Why do people drive 60 miles an hour when the speed limit says 55? Because for them, it's all right. They're doing what's right in their own eyes. They must be, because they're willing to pay for it. People still do that. They do what's right in their own eyes. The problem is what's right in their own eyes very often isn't right. And so, in the second bullet there, the third one, or number three under the first bullet, I should say, ego or self or soul was put first and God was pushed aside. And we went back again into the Garden of Eden. You know, there's so much that went on in the Garden of Eden if we'll carefully consider what happened there, we'll understand the mess we're in today. And we talked about the fact last time we got together that the reason that Adam did what he did is because he chose his wife over God. He'd rather go and die with her. You know, people are still like that today. Thomas is like that. Before you call him Doubting Thomas and try to put him down, don't you forget that it was Thomas that told the other disciple, he's going back to Jerusalem, let's go with him and die with him. He meant it. We still have a lot of that in us, don't we? Eve disobeyed God. Adam now had to make a choice. What am I going to do? Am I going to follow her and bear the consequences so that I can be with her? Or am I going to refer the matter to God? We know what choice he made. I don't know how long it was after they committed this act before God is heard saying, Adam, where art thou? But it was the same day. And yes, they're 24-hour periods. It was the very same day. Adam comes now and runs and hides under the trees of the garden with Eve to get out of sight of God. Adam, where are you? Huh, are you talking to me? How come you're hiding under the trees, Adam? Oh, well, we're naked and we're afraid. Afraid of what? Have you done what I commanded you not to do? See, God continually gives Adam a chance to repent and to fess up. But he doesn't do it. That very woman that just moments before he had given his life for in disobeying God, he now accuses her. Something has changed. Something has changed. Rather than to die with her or to die for her, now he's accusing her moments later of being the source of all the trouble. And if that isn't enough, it was really God's fault because God made her for him in the first place. My, a whole lot changed in this guy's attitude in the space of a few hours. Why? Because he had died spiritually and now self rises to the top and it's me first. Is the term egotist usually pejorative? If you call somebody an egotist, are they going to be happy about that? What does the word really mean? Notice that I use that word on the screen up there, and if you were sitting close enough, you could see it. What does it mean? What is an egotist? There's another way that people say it that you get it quicker. This is highfalutin language. You can cut them, and they won't even know they're bleeding. Sometimes we say people are full of themselves, don't we? Did I cut somebody off? I'm sorry. Selfish. A selfish person. It all about me. When somebody else does that, it's disgusting, isn't it? But we don't realize that we're the same way. And all of us have been since the Garden of Eden. Why? Because God's natural order of spirit, soul, body has been upset. The spirit's been taken out of the way, so now the soul becomes a freebooter. I'm not responsible to God anymore. It's I'm number one, and the woman that thou gavest me. She caused all this problem. Well, that's the sort of thing's still going on today, isn't it? Aren't there egotists running loose in the land? I know you and I don't know any, but they're out there someplace. Selfish. Full of themselves. We as a human race recognize that there's something wrong with that. But we can't quite put our finger on it. How did we get to be in that condition? Well, that's what this study is about. Because man died spiritually, now the door is open for what we're going to read in Romans chapter 1. And let's do that. Romans chapter 1. Let's just get the whole thing here. I was only going to read a couple of verses. But let's just back up to verse number 18 rather than starting in verse number 28. We like to read the Word of God together anyway, don't we? Amen. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Semicolon. Because, in other words, why is God so upset about this? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. In other words, they're doing it, but they know better. They're doing it, but they know they're not supposed to. Now, lest we become self-righteous and say, I'm okay, it's the rest of the world that's a mess. The scripture goes on. Verse number 20, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." You know, if you just want to undercut morality, all you have to do is say, there is no God. You can do it in one fell swoop. You don't have to do it by debating each little point. Is the guy a drunk or is he an alcoholic? Is this guy an adulterer or is he having an affair? You can just paint the whole thing by making one statement, God doesn't exist. Because then if God doesn't exist, there's nothing wrong with doing what I want. Then it can be all about me. But you see, there's these little alarm bells in the back of everybody's head that keeps going off when we do the wrong thing. It's called a conscience. If you work on it hard enough, you can sear it. If you work on it hard enough, you can turn the volume down on your conscience. That's not a good idea. That's like tying down the safety valve on a boiler. Not real smart. Disconnecting your burglar alarm system. Not very smart. The conscience is valuable. God is bringing it up here. Nobody has an excuse. Because even if you want to say the earth is billions and billions of years old, you're still going to be faced with the question of, yeah, and where did it come from then? You haven't escaped anything by saying it's billions and billions of years old. All you've done is try to say that heaven is high and the emperor is far away. But he's still there. Where are you going to run to hide from this God? Go down into the deepest sea and he's there. The highest mountain and he's there. Outer space and he's there. Why are they without excuse? Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This says that at one time the human race knew God. How can any human being know God? First of all, essentially, what is God? Is he corporeal or is he something else? He is. Not until Jesus Christ. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Remember the spirit that God created man with? Remember we said it was dysfunctional? Well, what was its function? To communicate with God. Somebody that is not spiritually reborn can't even worship God. He doesn't have the equipment. God is a spirit, and if you're going to worship him, you have to worship him in spirit. You can't worship him physically. You can't go through some kind of rite. You can't do something in a physical way. Waving your hands in the air is not the worship of God. It might be a physical movement, but it's not the worship of God. The worship of God requires an organ that can connect with God, which is the Spirit. Was Adam connected with God before he sinned? Verse number 21 again, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, I brought something up that happened in the Garden of Eden as relating to Adam and his attitude. Before he sinned, he was all for Eve and was going to go with her wherever she went. But as soon as he sinned, his entire attitude changed, and now he's blaming the whole mess on her and on God. What changed? His foolish heart was darkened. Unless you have an alternate explanation. And men have been in that place ever since. Spiritually dead and filled with themselves. Now that's going to lead to some consequences. Because you see, the Spirit was designed to be the guide of men. That's how God would rule in our lives, was through the Spirit. When the Spirit is dysfunctional, what do we got as a steering mechanism now? We're just left with the soul, with self, doing what we think is right in our own eyes. Or as the world likes to put it, if it feels good, do it. That's what the human race has been doing since the Garden of Eden. Pleasing themselves. Well, there's a consequence for that. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain or empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You know, we're talking about more than Richard Dawkins here. We all think we're pretty smart, don't we? And we all think that we have life figured out. That's why teenagers are smarter than anybody. Professing themselves to be wise, we really think we're pretty smart. Well, if we're so smart, then why does the newspaper read like it does? Hmm? Verse 23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. The Feast of Astarte we just talked about. See, that's not such a small thing. Easter eggs came from someplace. And they have a consequence. Verse number 24. Wherefore God also gave them up. Oh, you want to be your own man? Well, I'm willing to step back and let you see how you like it. And for the last 6,000 years, that's what God's been saying. You want to go your own way? Go ahead, have at it, let's see what comes of it. What's come of 6,000 years of human history? Where is that golden age that all of the bards have foretold? Where is it? Well, if we could only wipe out ignorance, man would enter into a universal golden age. It's going to be wonderful. Come on, NEA, deliver. Come on, government-funded school system, deliver. Seems like that's where the shootings are going on. Things that make you go, If we could get rid of poverty, everything would just be wonderful. If nobody was poor, if everybody had enough to eat and a place to sleep, why, there'd be no crime. We just have a golden age. And so we put politicians into office that have raped us and pillaged us and given us the new easy tax form that only has two lines. Line number one says, enter your income, and line number two says, send it in. We've bankrupted ourselves doing social programs. I think it's demonstrable that there are more murders per capita today than there were before Franklin Roosevelt came along. What do you think? Something isn't working here. And the scripture has the answer to all of it. If you egotistical humans want to go your own way and you're so smart that you've got it all figured out, let's just see what comes of it. Verse 24, shall we see what comes of it? Now, this is pretty graphic, so if you have kids, you might want to plug up their ears once in a while. I'm just kidding. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Sometimes I wonder if we Americans aren't the cleanest people in the world on the outside and the dirtiest on the inside. We use more soap than anybody. But that doesn't wash the heart, does it? That's where the real human filth comes from. Verse 24, uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. We spend more money on medicines and doctors in this country than we do just about anything else. We'll do anything to stay healthy, even go on a diet. No, let's not go that far. Verse number 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creation more than the Creator who's blessed forever. We gotta stop this global warming. It's Mother Earth we're killing. I wonder if Al Gore has an image of a globe that says Mom on it tattooed on his chest. We're not as smart as we think we are. Worshipping sticks and stocks and stones, all the time trying to tell one another how smart we are. How's it working? You know, if we won't admit the truth, then we'll never come to a solution. Before anybody can get saved, they have to understand that they're lost. Before anybody's going to call the fire department, they have to understand that the house is on fire. God says, come, let us reason together. Let's talk about this. Let's enter into a dialogue. Isn't it amazing that even after Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, He didn't come and give them a lecture. He came and started asking them some questions. Come on, let's talk this thing over. They just didn't want to talk. Most people still don't. We're still full of ourselves, full of soul, selfishness, ego. What happens when you push God away? Verse 26, for this cause. Wow, I keep seeing for this cause, for this cause. I think there's a cause and effect relationship amongst the things that we're reading here tonight. For this cause, why? What cause? Because they pushed him away and wouldn't listen to him and thought they were smarter than he was and they could figure it out for themselves. Somebody ought to be patting me on the back and saying, preacher, you're so sweet, but I keep saying they instead of us, us. But nobody's caught me at it, so. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to vile affections. Oops. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. I kind of like the way the King James translators did this. Because I could say it in another way that you'd get real good, but there are kids in here. I don't have to explain this to you, do I? Do you realize that sodomy is one of the most base crimes that a person can commit? Most locker room conversation doesn't have to do with how effeminate we are. Even men that aren't much of a man like to say how much of a man they are. Men tiptoeing through the tulips? Playing ukuleles? What's wrong with this picture? And there are a lot of people that say that they're Christians that are trying to say, so what's the problem? You know what hits me most about crimes against nature? It just ain't natural. You don't have to have too many brain cells firing to see that there's something fishy going on here, and it doesn't look like it's good. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. GAY is an acronym, you know. Stands for God Aids Yet. Am I making fun of them? No. I'm sorry for the tragedy when a human life is taken by something like this, but it's a natural result of pushing God away. Just as sure as B follows A and 2 follows 1, unless we're into fuzzy math. This is the way it happens. With the death of the Spirit and no guidance from God in our lives, we lose our moral compass. We lose our direction. We don't know the difference between right and wrong. But you see, there's a real problem with that, because at least if that were the only factor, half of the stuff that we did would be right just by sheer coincidence. But you see, when Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, he didn't remain morally neutral. He was depraved. We have a sin nature. There's a drawing that's drawing us away from right. Oh, we'll get to that in a moment. That's the last bullet on this page. But let's talk about this so that we understand it. You know, a lot of people don't understand what's wrong with the world. This is it right here. God's told us what's wrong. We just don't want to listen. Verse number 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, there it is again. Spirit separated from God, soul doing what it wants to do. God wants to put me under rules. I'm my own man. I'm free. I don't need God. Don't tell me what to do. And even as they did not, verse 28, like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Did we miss anybody? If we wanted to be honest and look at that list, how many places do we find our old nature? What you're reading here is God's grand indictment against the human race. We've been weighed in the balances and found wanting, and this is what God has against us because He's holy and we're not. This is where the problem is. But you know, if you tried to say, well, I've been a covenant breaker, so I'm going to go around and make nice with everybody, you haven't solved the problem. Because you can't change your own nature. That's why they call it a nature. It's the way you are. It's the way I am. Without outside help, I can't change it. I inherited what I am from my parents, who inherited from their parents, who got it from Adam. That's the mess in which we find ourselves if we're not saved. How do we like it? Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Come, let's do it together. The more the merrier. And you know what the awful thing is in the back of our minds, we know it. You think that the teaching of eternal punishment for wrongdoing committed on earth is committed to Christianity, and Christians are the only ones that understand that? You can go to the Orient and people will tell you that they understand that there's an afterlife, Buddhism and Taoism aside, and that if they've done bad, they're going to go to a place of eternal punishment. They know that. And no Christian ever talked to them about it. It's something that they innately know. Just like they know that there's a God. Now they can make up as many philosophies as they like. spin a web as intricately as they like, but they can't get away from that little nagging thing in the back of their mind that keeps telling them there is a God and I'm in trouble with Him. Such is the condition of the fallen soul. Rebels against God. Now the second bullet on this page. Something's going to come in to fill the power vacuum. Now we've got a soul that's no longer guided by God because the being is spiritually dead. Why, that gives the devil a wonderful entrance. It's not idle hands that are to the devil's workshop. It's the fallen soul. That's the real devil's workshop. And my, is he busy. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1. 1 John chapter 4. And verse number 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1. Beloved, most of this letter is a warning against the Gnostics, but every once in a while, John will address something to believers too. Here's something that he is addressing to believers. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They're of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Wow. What is John saying here? He's telling believers, exercise your spiritual discernment, because when you got born again, something got born. Tell me what got born when you got born again. I don't see any of you out there with two heads. Yes! When we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are spiritually regenerated and born again. We now have a spirit that's connected with God, and we have a means of knowing God and discerning spiritual things. An unregenerate person doesn't have that. But a Christian does have it. But you see, a Christian can choose not to exercise it. That's why John is encouraging his beloved or believers to do something. He says, believe not every spirit. Well, how would you know whether a spirit that comes is teaching you the truth or a lie? Because you have equipment that a lost person doesn't have. You have the ability to do what Adam should have done in the Garden of Eden. Adam should have referred this matter that occurred with his wife immediately to God through his spirit and said, what should we do about this? But you know the reason he didn't do that is because he made a choice. God gave Adam and Eve the power to make a choice. They were never free moral agents. But he did give them the power to choose to either obey him or to disobey him. Adam thought the matter out and said, I think I'll disobey him because I want to be with her. I can live without him. Not real clear thinking. Since that day, man has not had spiritual discernment. But when a person is born again, he's regenerated spiritually, and now he has the machinery to try the spirits. Verse number 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The Greek word there that's translated world is cosmos, and it means an ordered, governed society, a regime, if you will. The cosmos that John speaks of is the creation of Satan. Satan is the small g god of this world. He rules over unregenerate people and attempts to fool the saved ones as well, by the way. So if you're into investigating things and you know about the Federal Reserve System and you know about the New World Order and you know about the Bilderbergers and you know about the Council on Foreign Relations, and you're thinking if we could only get rid of them, you need to think again, because they're only the human manifestations of a vast spiritual conspiracy that's running this world and has been for 6,000 years. You see, the devil needs human lieutenants to carry out his plan. He blinds men's minds. They willingly follow him. And he's built a great kingdom. He's a little g god of this world. Greek word, kosmokratoros. The king of the cosmos. The ruler of a regime that he has set up. And he never could have done it unless men were spiritually dead. Because if they weren't spiritually dead, they'd have immediately spotted him for who he was. And they'd have had nothing to do with him. The devil comes in to fill the power vacuum. We're out of time for tonight. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, we want to thank you tonight that we don't have to wonder why the world's in the condition that it is, and we don't have to listen to philosophers, those who say they know something, when it's so obvious that they know nothing. But Lord, we can come to you, understanding that you made us. You understand all about us. You were around before Satan ever came into being. You know everything that's gone on, and you know why. And Lord, it's amazing in our eyes that you gave us a book that explains it all. No wonder Satan hates this book. No wonder he hates the people of the book. No wonder he has sought to kill us, to marginalize us. Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto his victims. Dear Lord, help us to understand these things, and then with understanding to go forth and plunder his kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.